This is Smart City Dialogue, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network, in short, ISCN. We are Julia Brennauer
and Sebastian Fritz. A lot has happened since our last podcast episode back in the summer of 2020. We're still stuck in the middle of the global COVID-19 pandemic, which confronts all of us with major challenges, may it be in our private or professional lives. Nevertheless, we hope our listeners had a good start into the new year 2021 and that you are all safe and stay healthy. We at the ISCN have been quite busy. From October to December 2020, the ISCN organized the Digital Ideas Competition Solutions for Cities on behalf of the Federal Ministry of the Interior, Building and Community. The Ideas Competition supported cities and municipalities in finding digital solutions for the current local challenges. Representatives of the German Smart Cities Models projects from Bamberg, Kaiserslautern, Kassel and Süderbrarup, as well as Wolfsburg, participated in the competition, as well as the ISCN partner cities of Guadalajara in Mexico, Miraflores in Peru, Fortaleza from Brazil, and Kochi, Coimbatore and Bhubaneswar in India. Numerous digital solutions have been submitted for the 11 participating cities as answers to their local challenges on the Solutions for Cities platform. During the Scaleton, which was a 3-day virtual workshop, the selected solution providers worked closely together with the cities and municipalities to refine the digital solutions and to adapt them to the concrete local challenges. On December 2nd, the winning teams were announced and the best digital solutions for each of the 6 areas of action of the competition have been awarded. For more information on this, you might check out our website www.smart-city-dialogue.de.
Exactly. And in the next step, the ICN will support the implementation process of the best digital solution for vibrant urban and local centers. The solution was developed by the team of the Institute for Planning and Development Management of the metropolitan area of Guadalajara, IMEPLAN, together with the Kampala Capital City Authority from Uganda. The team developed a strategy to refine an online market solution from Kampala to tackle the urban challenge of strengthening local markets in Guadalajara, Mexico, and to adapt it to the local needs. So the whole structure of the ideas competition and the virtual workshops were set up following innovative and agile methodologies. We equipped the participants with a toolbox of user-centered design thinking methods and tried to provide a creative environment for them to become innovative problem solvers. Together, in today's episodes, we are going to take a closer look at the meaning of human-centered design thinking in urban development processes.
Yes, and those of you who have followed our event at the new Leipzig Charter Digital Symposium in December last year might have already had the chance to follow the inspiring discussion between Geraldine de Bastion from Connectiv Collectif and our guest expert Dr. Nadia Basek. However, today we are very happy to welcome Nadia once more at the ISCN. As a business innovator, Nadia has a comprehensive expertise in the field of design thinking processes. She's a city researcher and has conducted smart city master projects applying design thinking methodologies for several years now. She is currently working at the Hybrid City Lab and Urban Design Studio 0360, where she and the team explore public innovation and help urban organizations to create equitable places in the digital age that are worth living, within and well beyond the city. So welcome, Nadia. Thank you for taking the time. We are really glad to have you here today.
Yes, thank you very much for the invite. I'm very curious about our little interview that we're doing now.
So Nadia, since you're an expert in the field, we'd like to touch on the topic of human-centered design thinking in urban development processes. Could you elaborate a bit on what human-centered design thinking is and which role it plays in urban development processes according to your experience?
Sure, I can. Well, I mean, Urban planners understand that cities are more than just architecture and infrastructure. Foremost, they are about the people living in them. So it is kind of their role to focus on human needs to create a better and sustainable urban living environment. And with new technologies comes new opportunities to address an array of problems facing cities today. And simply doing what they have been doing better will not be sufficient to enable cities to actually address the challenges that they faced. And I think from my perspective, human-centered design or urban design thinking is a tool that allows urban planners to, first of all, identify major challenges that really matter for the population, to work with stakeholders and residents to co-create solutions, and also to rapidly test and implement solutions. So why not co-create our immediate living environment with people that kind of reside or live in the communities we serve? So that's kind of the idea of human-centered design. And what I see in practice is that there are a lot of lighthouse projects, which are maybe rather on a small scale yet. However, I'm convinced that urban development needs to start from a human perspective to develop solutions that are not only economically viable and technically feasible, but foremost desirable for a specific group or for a specific citizen group in a specific space. So I'm convinced its importance will definitely increase and its role in urban development processes.
Absolutely. And I mean, as you already mentioned, with new technologies come new opportunities. And that's what we've all experienced kind of during the last year. The pandemic situation has given such a great boost to the digital transformation in our cities that today organizing our life is almost impossible without the right digital tools and services, be it at the workplace or simply to stay in touch with our family and friends. So do you think that this digital transformation also has an influence on human-centered design thinking in the urban context?
Yes, sure. I mean, I think you already mentioned it a little bit. From my perspective, the digital transformation definitely helps to create better co-creation processes because we do have a wider array or a variety of tools for co-creation and citizen engagement because we can combine offline formats and online engagement tools to actually ensure then that we reach a more diverse audience. So those young parents who don't have time to make it to the town hall, they can maybe participate online after the kids are in bed. Or the elderly couple that has just learned how an email works, they might choose to go to an offline workshop. But maintaining an online platform in terms of engagement is less expensive and much more flexible. So we can reach a wider audience. And second, I think digital transformation helps us to get more connected data for better decision making, because what I experience a lot of time is that in the human-centered design process, it is kind of difficult to deal with the complexities of a city. So to really analyze what is happening in the city in system terms and not just planning to support one single actor or one single policy area, it means we need to kind of try to connect the different dots and have a more integrated system view. And I feel that the emerging technologies now can actually support connecting this data analytics and project future scenarios based on urban modeling and simulation of flows. And as you already mentioned, I think COVID-19 definitely acted as an accelerator for this digital transformation, but also for human-centered design. Because what we realized in cities, this new stay-at-home lifestyle, I would call it, showed the importance also of public spaces. This is the quality of public spaces. Offices and downtown shopping areas became empty. Food was ordered online and so on and so forth. And I'm convinced that I think not all, but some of these practices that we have now during the pandemic are likely to stay even after the pandemic is over. So urban infrastructure in terms of mobility, design of public spaces, it has to change. So we maybe have a new layer of a virtual space in the city, and human-centered design will play a major role in this urban transformation process. That's my perspective on it.
Well, thank you, Nadia. That is actually quite interesting that not only the accelerated digital transformation favors human-centered design thinking, but also how new behaviors and lifestyles we developed during the pandemic will have an impact on our cities and how human-centered design might help us to shape this urban transformation process in our best interest. Now, however, we have been in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic for a year, And it makes a lot of things very difficult. It poses unexpected challenges for cities around the world. It leaves them in a very uncertain situation regarding planning security, their future development, and so on and so forth. Can you maybe specify in which context and under which conditions these methods are nevertheless or even particularly useful?
Well, I mean, what I also read often in recent months of that is like agility, creativity, design thinking, Scrum. It's an answer for many to all problems. And also myself, I found myself in a situation where customers or city officials said, well, we would like to do a design thinking project. And don't get me wrong here. I find that agile or creative methods are really extremely valuable to achieve project progress, especially when you have chaotic and complex situations, let's say. But nevertheless, creativity and also this agility paradigm is not a miracle potion either. So I usually recommend to take a closer look and really to identify the strategy that fits best to the context. So I think this will be the superpower of the future also for cities and organizations to find the right strategy for the right context. So for some problems, like, for example, more efficient solar panels, the cause-effect mechanisms are clear. It's still a complicated problem to solve, but there are lots of solutions out there. They just need to be adopted to the local context, like it was done in the Solutions for Cities idea context contest, for example. So best practice adoption is sometimes also a solution. It doesn't need to be always novel and new. Also, I think what is tricky about many of the public challenges that we are facing is that they sit kind of in between a lot of different interest groups, categories, also dimensions. And that means that they also have many problem owners, and with that comes often none at all. So it helps often to differentiate between those who have a problem, those who see it, those who want to solve it, and those who actually can solve it. So finding the right setting and the right strategy is for me the key to make most use of these methods. So I hope I didn't disappoint you with this answer, because I cannot really tell you this context is particularly where you need to use this method. But I think it becomes a skill to understand the right context and setting and then apply the right tool.
No, not disappointing at all. Thanks. I think it is a really important message. So design thinking and other agile or creative methods are means to an end and not an end in itself. And I really like the picture of the city's superpowers to select the right strategies. But I think this also implies that there are certain limitations to these methods, like situations where they aren't the means of choice. So maybe you can elaborate a bit on these limitations.
Indeed. I mean, the application of design thinking to urban projects is not always a perfect match. So first, in private companies, the design process focuses on intended users. So however, this is challenging in an urban context because private companies are free to target users as they wish. Urban designs have much more stakeholders. So therefore, I think we need to abandon this classic user concept and focus on all actors that can be users in the sense of customers, but also citizens, neighborhood organizers, local politicians, administrators, local companies, and so on and so forth. Also, second, I think that in the urban context, design thinking and system thinking need to be combined, because this design thinking mindset helps to break down problems and complex systems by reducing them to its individual parts, namely its user needs. But still, we cannot understand the behavior of a system by just studying its part. We need to study the whole and really consider the end-to-end impacts of a new concept or a new strategy. So imagine that you want to build a new tram, for example, now as there are plans in Berlin to build a new tram through Görlitzer Park, which is cool because it reduces the journey times, but also it might attract more tourists, it might be noisy for the neighborhood, and increases the flow of people. And what are the impacts on rents or stores? So we need to consider this system thinking, and that's why I think we to really perform a comprehensive analysis of the system, design thinking complements very well with a more system thinking approach. So yeah, these I would say are two big limitations.
Okay, great. Thank you. Could you maybe share an example with us where design thinking has been complemented with system thinking and where it was successfully integrated in an urban development process?
Yeah, I mean, actually, on a strategic level, interestingly, design thinking was integrated into Helsinki's 5-year development strategy. So that's not on a project level, but really as part of a city strategy, which I find very interesting and very forward-looking. Another very internationally known example is Sydney. Sydney's King's Cross was historically renowned for its very vivid nightlife, but then it got more into difficulties because it was more about alcohol-fueled violence. And what happened was that the local state governments have attempted to reduce this violence by even tighter regulation and more police presence. And as a consequence, the party audience was more treated like criminals, let's say. So the design challenge there was how to create a space in King's Cross that partygoers feel like partygoers again, and at the same time, it stays safe. And what they used and what I like as a comparison, they imagined King's Cross as a music festival and said, okay, a music festival is an organized event that attracts thousands of people, and they go to one central location to have a good time. And maybe we can use this metaphor for an organized approach to King's Cross. And it paved the way for a lot of suggested area for improvement. So what came out of this design thinking process at the end was that they had softer outdoor lighting. On the weekends, they had the closing of the main street so you could walk on the road. There were food stalls along the street, new sitting areas, outdoor entertainment. And the idea behind it was that they wanted to promote a process of unconscious sobering so people were entertained and would not get into a fight. I think it's a very nice example that shows how such a user-centered or the stakeholder-centered approach can help to create places with higher quality. Today, King's Cross is actually still an area that is less active than it used to be because some of the legislative measures still stayed. But that's one example of a successful implementation where they applied this method.
Yeah, thank you, Nadia. Earlier, you already touched on the ideas competition solutions for cities. And in general, we noticed that with the beginning of the pandemic, the willingness of also even the German government or the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development was there to implement innovative formats to generate ideas, because suddenly we needed creative ideas how to cope with the pandemic. And so they started to organize hackathons, and also the International Smart Cities Network had this idea of implementing a digital ideas competition called Solutions for Cities. It took place at the end of last year, and you also took part at the final event when we presented the winning teams of the competition. And basically, the aim was to help our partner cities in finding digital solutions as answers to their current challenges. And to do so, the cities worked closely together with design thinking coaches. Do you think that such digital idea competition formats can actually really help cities to cope with acute challenges?
Yes, I mean, I think it's such an interesting development now that our COVID also accelerated such a development. And I think competitions in general, if applied in the appropriate context, can be very useful for the following reasons. One is that municipal decision makers, interestingly, give up the claim to possess all the expertise for a decision. So their role kind of changes to more like a learning facilitator or an infrastructure provider. And in doing so, they're also creating a framework for actors to negotiate many small solutions among them. And this might also help the administration itself to reflect upon the strengths and weaknesses of their own approaches and working methods. And second, such competitions give citizens a platform and empower them because they awake the citizens' awareness of on-urban problems. And as they are users of the city, they have a practical motivation to engage in such contests, I would say. Also, this bottom-up innovation somehow produces new ideas, of course, and knowledge. And it's a great way to come up with ideas that traditionally, usually the process would look like this, that governments hire one firm to come up with one solution to a problem that they've already defined. So like this, they potentially miss out on a lot of interesting new ideas, I guess. And yes, and at the same time, Such competitions can be a very good starting point for small-scale experimentation. If one thing doesn't work out, maybe try something else. And so like this, you might find out which solutions you actually do want to implement, maybe as part of your smart city strategy, for example. And last but not least, I think such contests, and this is what you showed also in your idea contest, it's a really great way to foster international collaboration, especially when the challenges that you are faced with are very similar, like now with the COVID-19.
Thank you. And I mean, as you already said, city administrations actually already have their own approaches and methods. So do you think that these conventional methods like should be replaced all by, let's say, design thinking methods or agile methods? Or do you see a potential in linking these conventional methods with more innovative methods, such as the ideas competition format?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, transformation doesn't necessarily mean that we stop doing what we used to do and like we just do something completely new in the future. That's for me not a transformation. I definitely see potential in linking old working structures and systems with new ideas and new working styles and methods. And I mean, what you could usually see when you have such design thinking or more innovation driven projects at the moment that you develop solutions, but then often business as usual happens. So the solutions are maybe being managed using the same legacy processes in silos by teams who may not be trained in more agile approaches, such as Scrum, for example. But there's also a really positive examples. In Mannheim, for example, we realized that was a project we did. They were very important to set up a system. The city administration was very important to set up a system to accelerate this innovation, to actually implement it. So they acted as a coordinator by finding project partners for implementation at an early stage of the project. And also they provided funding for the development of high resolution prototypes and other implementation steps. So it requires, of course, a bit more entrepreneurial or a risk-taking role of the administration, or maybe having in a mindset of a trial-and-error problem-solving and experimentation. That's for sure new, but it doesn't mean that we have to give up with everything that was old, and doesn't mean that this was bad.
Once again, thank you very much, Nadia. This was a really interesting conversation. Thank you very much for answering our questions. Before we now get to the end of today's episode, are there any last thoughts you would like to share with us? Now is your chance.
I think there is one last comment I have, actually. I think none of the problems of Helsinki, Berlin, Mannheim, all these cities, we do not have the single right answer to it. And so from my perspective, the only way to move forward is through collaboration. And human-centered design is a tool for strategic discussion and co-creation. And I think this is something that can really guide us to the future. I would rather say walk the talk and don't be scared to apply these methods and try it out.
So walk the talk. Thanks for these encouraging closing words. Thank you again for taking the time today to sit down with us and having this interview. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We had a really good time with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me and giving me the chance to share my thoughts and project examples.
In case you want to learn more about the activities of the ISCN, please visit our website smart-city-dialogue.de. Thanks for listening and goodbye.